This is Guildcast Episode 4 for December 8th, 2005. Welcome back, everyone, to Guildcast. My name is Sean, and I thank everyone for listening today. I have quite a bit to talk about this show, but first off, I wanted to briefly touch on podcasting and what it means. I was recently made aware that not everyone listens to this show through a podcast aggregator or through podcast software. Since I have it available to download the show through the MP3 on the website, that's how some people have been doing it. But a lot easier way is to, you can go on Google or, you know, and do a search for podcast software or things like that. I've also put a few links on my website on the bottom left side where it says subscribe. You can go to those sites and they have some links on how to hook yourself up with some podcast software. But basically what podcasting is it's a way to subscribe to an audio feed. Something that's updated regularly, you can subscribe to it. And when a new show comes out, you get the new show through your software. The easiest software to use, in my opinion, is iTunes. And if you don't have iTunes, you can download that at apple.com. You download iTunes, and it has a little section right there for podcasting. And it's simple as pie. But if someone's interested in doing that, they can go ahead and do that. And that way they can, when a new show comes out, a new Guildcast episode comes out, you can subscribe to it and get all the latest news right when it comes out. Another feature I added to the site, which I'm pretty excited about, is a phone number. There's a new phone number where you can call and leave an audio comment, and I'll probably play it on the show. But the number is 1-206-666-GWEN, which is 4936. And that's long distance if you're not in the Seattle, Washington area. So I thought I'd warn you about that. But it's a way for me to get voicemail. I don't hear it ring, so you don't have to worry about disturbing me or anything. So you can call day or night, whatever you feel like. And just leave a comment about the show, about anything pertaining to Guild Wars, anything you'd like to talk about, and I'll hear it. Like I mentioned last show, this show is going to be about Ascension and the Ascension process. Now, if you're new to the game, you don't know what Ascension is, I don't want to give away too much of the storyline, because Ascension really has a lot to do with the storyline, the plot of the whole game. But I will say this, that in the game, you get to a point where you have to beat some creatures called the Mersat. And in order to beat the Mersat, you have to be ascended. And your character is considered a chosen one. The chosen ones need to be ascended in order to be able to battle the Mersat. So the ascension process is key to beating the game and to winning the game. And it's actually a part of the plot that you can't skip. And in order to ascend, you need to fight battles in the Crystal Desert. And there are three main battles that you have to fight. There's the Dunes of Despair, Thirsty River, and Alona Reach. And after you finish those three missions, you go to Augury Rock, where you will meet your doppelganger, which is, some people call it the mirror battle. Basically, you're fighting against yourself. You're fighting against a creature that mirrors you in every way, has the exact same skills you have. Now, they do have different weapons. The doppelganger has a bow and an axe, and that's it. And as far as attributes, he does have different attributes. The skill lineup is going to be the same. So that's the key to beating the doppelganger, is knowing what to bring and what not to bring in your skill bar. The most important thing to remember is that you don't need to fill your whole skill bar. Another general fact about the doppelganger is he, like I said, he has an axe and a bow, and his axe does less damage than a bow. His bow is actually a really good bow. So if you're any kind of a melee class, like a warrior, run up to him, and you'll be better. You'll be better off. So let me just talk a little bit about each class and how to beat the doppelganger. I'll start with the easiest ones. Now, two of these I've done myself, where, I have first-hand experience, and I know these work. The other ones I've read about, I've talked to other people about, and they've told me their best best ways, and a lot of them make sense, so that's why I'm reporting it. But the easiest to me is probably the warrior class. All you need to do for warrior, you take all your skills off, you equip whatever weapon you have, you put frenzy in your skill bar, and that's it. Because what he'll do, frenzy, you know, you attack 33% faster, but you take double damage. So he'll cast frenzy, run up to him, and beat the crap out of him, and he will take double damage, and you don't cast frenzy, and you won't take double damage. And you'll have him beat in 14 seconds, because that's about how long it took me. It's really simple, straightforward, makes a lot of sense. Now, as far as Monk, that's the other one I've done myself. And it was actually pretty easy, too. I forgot how long it took, but it only took seconds. What I did was I brought Retribution, because what that does is it deflects the damage that he does to you back onto him. I forgot what the percentage is. It's like 33% or something like that. But it reflects that damage back onto him, and you bring Healing Breeze. Those two skills. You'll be attacking him with your wand or staff for damage, plus Retribution will be doing damage to him also. When you bring Healing Breeze, he doesn't cast Healing Breeze. For some reason, nobody really knows why, but he won't cast Healing Breeze on himself. So you have Healing Breeze to keep healing yourself while you're attacking him, and he's taking that reflective damage back onto himself. And that's what I did, and it worked great. Another person told me about Scourge Healing and Healing Breeze, and Scourge Healing will make him take the damage. He'll heal himself, but he'll cause, like if he's maxed out, what he'll do is he'll heal himself, but he'll cause 60 damage to himself every time he does that. Because what it is it's 80 damage minus 20 for the actual heal itself. But the Scourge from the Scourge Healing will cause the 80. And I've never tried that, but I've heard it works. Now, for the Ranger, someone told me about this one, and it makes sense. There's actually a few different ways to do it. And actually, all of these, there's a few different ways to do it, but these are just ways that I've heard about or done myself that make the most sense. As far as Ranger, one way to do it is if you put a lot of spirit skills, like, you know, the ones that cast, like, Winter, you know, things like that, that you have to cast to create a spirit. Because what he'll do is he'll be creating that spirit. While he's casting to create that spirit, you can attack him, and he'll lose all that energy. And he'll try it again, and you can attack him again. He won't be attacking you because he'll be trying to cast these spells that take a long time to cast. And the same thing works with traps. Traps are so easily interrupted, and they take a long time to cast, that while he's casting it, you can interrupt him, you know, with your own bow or whatever, and he'll lose that energy and that time, and then he'll try it again and do the same thing. Another way with a Ranger is, this makes a lot of sense too, is to use Charm Animal. You bring Charm Animal and some really good animal beast mastery skills, and what it'll do is you'll be inflicting damage on him and your pet will. He won't have a pet because he didn't charm one. If he just has the skill, he doesn't have a pet. So you'll have you and your pet inflicting damage on him, plus you'll be able to use these pet skills against him that he won't be able to use because he doesn't have a pet, and you'll kill him in seconds. That one, I think, if I was a Ranger, I think I'd probably try that one. That one sounds pretty interesting. Now, as far as the Necromancer, this one, when you really think about it, it's pretty much a no-brainer. You put some spells in your skill bar, like Awaken the Blood, Dark Fury, Defile Flesh, Signet of Agony, these different spells that take health away from you. If you equip all those and you don't cast them yourself, but he does, he's going to be taking his damage down. You know, like Dark Fury, you sacrifice 17% of your maximum health. Then Defile Flesh, you sacrifice 20% of your maximum health. Well, if he does this, plus the damage you're inflicting on him, he'll be dead in no time. Now, for the Elementalist, I've heard a lot of different strategies for the Elementalist. This one, I think, makes the most sense to me. And you know, I'm sure you can find your own way, but this is a good one for me, I've found. What you do is you bring Firestorm. You cast it right away. As soon as you get there, you be ready, and you cast Firestorm. And he's going to cast it also. You put it in your first slot, and he'll cast it also. But if you can do it before him, while he's doing it, you know, the firestorm will be hitting him, and you just move towards him so that the firestorm is behind you. He's still in the firestorm that you cast on him, and you're hitting him. If you have a melee weapon, that would be better, because then you can attack him with that. Or, if you don't have a melee, if you're not a warrior as your second class or whatever, you can cast Fireball, Phoenix, you know, any of those, Flare, any of those kind of spells at him. But you want to be right up on him. You want to be out of that firestorm that he cast at you. And you'll get him right then, because he doesn't move around. He doesn't run around. So that's a good way to do it. Now, for the last class, the Mesmer. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can do this. But my personal opinion, if you are a Mesmer, use your secondary, whatever your secondary class is, use the skills for that. Because Mesmer is probably one of the hardest ones to fight the Doppel with. Some people have said that what you can do is you can use spells like Spirit of Failure, Empathy, Distortion. Because what you do is you run in there, you cast Empathy and Spirit of Failure as soon as you get in there. Then you cast Distortion on him. You keep doing this, and you just keep recasting it, and he'll keep taking that damage. Now, you don't want to take anything that's going to do damage, because he will cast it on you also. So you just want these things that will backfire on him. And actually, even if you took backfire, that would probably be a good idea too, just as long as you don't cast any spells. This is pretty much, the Mesmer is pretty much a pacifist build for the Doppelganger, because what you do is you just cast these spells that are going to make him destroy himself, and you sit back. You kind of dodge his bullets, you know, so to speak, and just let him kill himself, basically. The bad thing about it, and this is why I say it's not an easy class to do with the Doppelganger, is that it's going to be pretty close, from what I've heard, as far as killing him before he kills you. But I hope all these made sense to you, and if you have any questions, go ahead and email me, and I'll try to elaborate a little bit. Right now, I'm pretty much rambling off the top of my head, so I'm sure there might be some things I've left out, but if anything is confusing, or you just need some clarification on some things, go ahead and email me, and I'll try to help you out as much as I can. Alright, now for the scam warning segment. I want to talk a little bit about customized weapons and armor. A lot of times when new people get in the game, they don't realize what customized actually means. I remember when I first started, I didn't realize what customized meant either. And first time I got a good weapon, I customized it. Because, you know, you get that extra 20% damage. Hey, that's pretty good. What's the downside of that? Well, the downside is you can't sell it. That weapon is customized to you, and there's nothing you can do to get rid of it, unless you sell it to a merchant, but that's about it. You can't sell it to other players. And the same goes for armor. All armor is customized to yourself. Now, as far as scamming goes in this regard, you have to look out for the people who will try to sell you customized weapons or armor. Nobody's armor is interchangeable. There's no way you can trade armor with anybody else. There's no way you could, if someone sold you armor, you can't wear it. And that's just a fact. But I think it's important that people are aware of what customization means, and why they should watch out for people who try to sell them customized items. Now I'd like to read a little bit of fan fiction. The name of the story this episode is A Ranger's Rebirth by Dale V. I ran for hours. I ran until my heart threatened to collapse and my lungs drew pain instead of air. I ran to the southwest. For in my rational fear, it was a direct route to where I might find the caravan of children that promised, perhaps not absolute safety, but a fighting chance. By twilight, my surroundings were entirely foreign to me, and, mercifully, as the wood was plunged into the murky, purplish shadows of night, I heard the sounds of humans. A camp was not far away, and a cursory glance in the direction of the sounds brought a campfire into sight. I would have cheered if I had had breath to cheer. I would have run faster if my legs would have obeyed my will, but it was staggering that I entered their camp, much to the alarm of a fully outfitted scouting party for the Ascalon military. Imagine my surprise when weapons were aimed at me. I was flogged and drugged into a makeshift cage, left chained to the bars there while word was sent to, from what I could make of their conversation, those in charge of moving refugees. For several days I was fed slop, bread soaked in water, in the same bowl each night as I begged and pleaded with them to release me to my family or the caravan that took the children. They were convinced that I was a deserter, a paid spy for the Char, an assumption made, as far as I know, by the woodland clothing that I wore and my rugged appearance from days in the wood. Tears stung chapped cheeks on the day that word came back. The children were all accounted for, and I was sentenced to die because some ignorant sod could not count, or reported dishonestly to save his own hide. Another one sent to Greth, I hope. Would they sever my head? Would they hang me from a tree? No. No, in the days of preparation for war, they made a game of my execution, something akin to a cat that played with its chosen dinner before consuming it. I was pronounced a spy, and the first hostile they had encountered. It was decided that no prisoners of war would be taken, and no quarter shown for anyone assisting the Char, for no quarter was likely to be shown by the enemies themselves. It was decided that I had intended to plant myself within the refugees so that I might report their whereabouts to the Char army, and the hatred that was directed at me during that day was as potent as anyone might expect when directed towards a human that betrayed his race and threatened to risk the lives of hundreds of innocents. The only fault in their logic, they were wrong. I was a scared 16-year-old boy that wanted desperately to be with his family when the war started. I was passed around the camp until everyone had an opportunity to strike me with one thing or another, usually their fists or the pommels of their swords. When I could no longer stand, I was held up. When I could no longer hold to consciousness, water was splashed upon me. Men and women alike took their turns with ruthless delight, something sinister about their enjoyment of such an act. It was on the blessed wings of mercy that my eyes became swollen that I could not see, my ears damaged that I could not hear, and my body numb that I could not feel. My last thoughts were of my mother as they held me against the rough bark of a tree, their laughter far from me, and my mind swirled as a crisp, sharp, and undeniably loud sound struck me. It is a sound that I can still hear vividly to this day, something akin to a rapid tearing of paper, or perhaps the sound of ligaments being separated from a rabbit as the meat is torn from the bones in preparation of a meal. If I had known then what I know now, I would not have screamed, for the sound had accompanied an arrow as it pierced my throat. But perhaps it was the pain that my scream caused which brought those gossamer wings of mercy back to me and made my world go black, made it all go away. That was a segment of A Ranger's Rebirth by Dale V, and if you want to check out more of it, go ahead and go to my website to read the entire story. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Guildcast. Next episode, I'll be talking about changing your secondary profession and how to do it, and a little bit more details on what your options are when changing your second profession. So feel free to email me at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, G-U-I-L-D-C-A-S-T.com. Check out the website at www.guildcast.com. Now you can call me on the audio comment line at 1206-666-GWEN. That's G-W-E-N, which is 4936. I'd like to thank everyone I've met in the game, and I encourage the rest of you to go ahead and say hi to me in the game. Again, my character names are Walmart Special, BBQ Ribs, and Priestess Julie. I have pictures of them up now on the photo gallery section of my website, as well as a picture of me, if anyone dares to see that. You can go ahead and check that out, as well as the rest of the website. A lot of good features on there. But until next time, tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.